right, Monty Don. Alan Titchmarsh?
Your mum.
Your mum? Yeah. Yes, John?
The late Geoffrey Smith.
He was a good fellow, wasn't he? Yeah. What about a Joe Swift? No. If Sonia was here, Jill, she's a real Monty Don person. She is, I know that, because she double digs her carrot bed. That's, I do know that, so there you go. Now, do you have a plan and do you stick to it? Yes? No? I must admit to being a bit of each. Yes, I know what I want to plant, what veggies work well for us, and how to make the best of my two raised beds. Some people say that they like what comes naturally. Not sure about that one. A man let his garden grow naturally, and when questioned why it was such a mess, he said, "I was leaving it to God." God will not do for us what he has given us the ability to do. If you want a good garden or a good life, you have to work at it. With the garden, if you want flowers, it is no use filling the beds with vegetables. You will get out what you put in. Also, you may get more than you wanted. You'll get weeds. If you leave your life to run itself, it will also produce weeds. Gardens and life need regular, tender, loving care. Now, Lent is a time for looking at what we have and making improvements. It is a time when we look at our priorities and make sure we are on the right track. It is about trying to be the people that God wants us to be. In other words, some spiritual spring cleaning. In the garden, some plants need splitting to give them more room to grow. You can often give away the extra to someone else. That's a really lovely thing to do. If we do not learn to give, we will do the same. We will choke, and that's not very good for us. So we need to make more room for new growth in our lives. There is a constant need to weed and also to prune, getting rid of unwanted obstacles. What doesn't taste or smell nice, what's rank and is taking over, is a necessary part of our spiritual life and growth. In our reading this morning, we heard of the baptism of Jesus, the descent of the Spirit and the voice of God. Amazing, in that one moment we had all the Trinity together, which is, I don't know, does it happen in any parts of the Bible, Stephen, apart from that moment? Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on. It's not a very common occurrence, is it? No. But you see, my friends, it happened in front of witnesses. Jesus came from Nazareth, this rather sort of tall, I suppose, probably man, coming from a place that nobody thought very much about. And he came there to begin his ministry. And there he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Now the Jordan River, if you've ever been, is a bit of a muddy place. It's not exactly beautiful and sparkling, is it, Stephen? No. There's a river in the middle, which isn't very wide, and then there's lots of greeny bits on the outside, you know, rushes and stuff, and then it's desert each side. And that's a bit really like our lives, isn't it? You know, we have that bit in the middle that's sometimes sparkly, bit of green growth on the outside, and then at the rest of it, it's a bit desert, a bit brown, a bit unkempt. And it's a good picture to think about sometimes. Now the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven. We know because there were witnesses. Even Satan recognized him as the Son of God. Now Mark also mentions the animals and the angels, and in their own way, they appear to be saying the same thing. You are the Son of God. So with so many witnesses, we can be sure of the truth. But why is it so important? It is important because it proves that God wants to be involved with us and our lives. God knows what it's like to be human, and he can sympathize with us in all our weaknesses. God has breathed air like we breathe and felt pain as we have felt pain. If he got a splinter in his finger or bashed and cut his toe, it hurt. This is Jesus, normal human being. He understands the difficulties of being in one place at a time. Jesus felt tiredness, thirst, rejection, fear, and so much more. He's wept tears of sadness and got angry at injustice. Being human can be tough, and our God knows exactly how tough it can be. He knows, and he is prepared to do whatever it takes to connect with us. Mark is saying to us on this first Sunday of Lent, look at this story. He says, just look at this story. Look at this life and learn to see and hear it in the heavenly vision, the heavenly voice. Learn to hear these words addressed to yourself. Let them change you, mold you, make you somebody new, the person God wants you to be. Discover in this story the normally hidden heavenly dimension of God's world. We will fail. The road is dusty and dry. But you see, our God isn't a bully. Some of us may have very unhappy memories of our fathers, and maybe they weren't very kind to us, but our Heavenly Father is not like that. He won't slam the door in our face or kick us out. He loves us with an unconditional love. Fact. We don't have to earn it. Remember the voice that spoke those powerful words of love? He says them to us too. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you so much. I will never leave you alone. When you make mistakes, plant the wrong seeds, I'm there to pick you up again and put you on firm footing. Isn't that a fantastic promise? He's there for us no matter what. God sends us out too, like he did Jesus. We don't or shouldn't lock ourselves away, hoping that God won't call us to do some impossible task. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses better than we do. Now remember, temptation is not wicked. It's giving into it that is. Temptation is about choice and decision. Being lazy or a couch potato when we have been given so much ability and don't use it, that's wicked. Temptation helps us to strengthen us in our purposes and to choose a better way of living. Sin, when we do things that we shouldn't do, is when we lower our aims, choose a way without God, and when we live below our potential. When Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan, the adversary, tempted him. He tried to divide Jesus' loyalty, mess with his mind and throw him off course. Didn't work. Jesus knew what he had to do. Quite often, it is when we don't make up our minds or commit our hearts that we are defeated. But Jesus wasn't left alone. His father knew he needed something. Yes, there were wild beasts, desert animals, jackals, snakes. We don't really know what else in that time. And then the angels were there that ministered to him. They're real. They're real. You read your Bible, they're real. You see, whenever we are tempted or troubled or distressed, we are never alone. Divine help is at hand. Our God is with us. So back to the garden of our lives. With the garden, we learn to walk, to work in relationship with the soil and the climate. We don't plant and expect summer produce in December. So with our own lives, we need to learn to work in relationship with God. Nothing is achieved without effort, without practice, without learning. If If you want a good garden, you have to give it priority over other things. And the same is true of our faith and our walk with the Lord. Lent is a time to take stock, seek godly ways, spend a little more time in our Lord's presence, and perhaps read a good Lent book. God has told us what to do. He says, do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.